Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our text for this morning's sermon is taken from St. Luke's Gospel account, the 7th chapter. Beloved in the Lord, the children of men make much of words when it suits their agenda, but men's words often do little to save or heal. Whole kingdoms are built upon the words of their king. Nations are established on the words of their leaders. Our own nation is founded upon the words of the Constitution of the United States. Men make much of words when those words suit their agenda. But the words of men cannot liberate the conscience, nor heal the heart. And the kingdoms of men, though established on words, cannot help but enforce those words at the edge of the sword, nor can they defend those words from enemies, both domestic and foreign, without the aid of guns and tanks. Our nation knows this well, all too well. Many Americans have died, not to protect our freedoms, but to defend the words of the Constitution. Indeed, such sacrifices are worthy of our adulation and praise, for these have surrendered themselves to the providence of Almighty God in the defense of and for the sake of certain inalienable rights, namely life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the chief of which is the freedom of religion. The centurion in our text is a soldier. He knows a bit about the power and authority of words. When he says go, they go. And when he says come, they come. And when he says do this, they do it. Words matter. Our text this morning is all about words. The words Jesus finished saying in the hearing of the people, the words of the Jewish elders who come to Jesus on behalf of this soldier and his servant, the words of the soldier concerning himself, and the word of Jesus that trumps all other words. Everything is bookended in our text with the words of Jesus, because it's the words of Jesus that matter the most. The centurion sends for Jesus because there are some things in this world which the words of men cannot rightly deal with. There are some things that cannot be enforced or defended at the tip of a sword. Be sure, kings and rulers can punish sin and inflict death. They do not bear the sword in vain, and they rightly deserve our honor and obedience when not in conflict with God's word. But at the same time, neither the words of such kings and rulers nor their swords and guns can rightly deal with sin or death. They cannot heal, and they cannot save. The Jewish elders have an agenda. They come on this Gentile's behalf because, as they say, he's worthy. He loves our nation, and he's the one who built us our synagogue. At a time when the Jews disliked Gentiles, and the Jewish leaders especially distrusted Gentile soldiers, this one Gentile soldier isn't like the other Gentile soldiers that everyone hates. No, Jesus, he's better than those others, and he deserves our attention and action. Their words betray their agenda, so also their fallen human nature. For it's in man's fallen nature to consider works more value than faith. This is true not only of the Jews in our text, but of all people of all ages throughout all time since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden. That means it's true of you and me. And so it's not in our nature to believe that sin and death are dealt with by words. In our fallenness, we believe that such things are only dealt with by actions, works, deeds, not creeds. God says do it, and we had better do it, and if we don't do it, we had better do something to make God less angry with us because we didn't do it. In other words, we believe not doing what God says often leads one to expect the tip of the sword or some other form of discipline for our disobedience. If we do right, things will go well for us. We'll be healthy, wealthy, and wise. If we do wrong, well, then we should expect some something bad to happen. So that when something bad does happen, as inevitably will in this broken world, when illness comes or cancer shows up, or whenever we're reminded of our own mortality, then we believe we've fallen from God's favor. Now we need to do something to make up for it. You know, tilt the scales of divine favor back toward us to earn it ourselves, to please God. This translates into a theology of works, therefore a theology of glory, neither of which necessitates Jesus. If I have to do it myself, if I can do it by myself, well then who needs Jesus? Who needs absolution? Who needs baptism or the Lord's Supper? Who needs words when we've got deeds? Beloved, that may be how fallen man works. That may be how we wanted to work with God. But it's not how Jesus works. The Jews tried to persuade Jesus based on the centurion's work. He's worthy. He's done these things for us. He loves us. You should come for him. They err, and they err greatly. Jesus doesn't go because of the man's works. He goes because of the man and his servant's need for Jesus and his words. To deal with sin and death, God doesn't send a soldier. He sends his son. This is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us. You and me and all people, and he sent his son to be a propitiation, a blood-covering atonement for sin. The soldier's primary task is to kill and destroy, a task for which they are very well trained. Not so the son. He has come that we may have life and have it abundantly and eternally. Jesus has come to seek and to save, and such seeking and saving is accomplished not at the tip of a sword or at the end of a barrel of a rifle, but on a cross with nails and a hammer. Jesus hasn't come to stir up the troops and encourage them to win the battle for themselves, but he's come to do the fighting himself, to deal with our sin and death according to the Father's good pleasure. Jesus is the suffering servant, the Holy One of God, come to do right in our place and suffer wrong for us and for our salvation. He lives the perfect life in our stead. He is actively obedient to the law's demands, perfectly fulfilling every jot, tittle, and iota of the law, exceeding the righteousness of even the Pharisees, both then and now. But to fully deal with our sin and death, Jesus must also stand in our stead before the eternal judge. Like a sheep that is silent before its shearers, Jesus stands before Pilate and his heavenly Father, offering no excuses, making no defenses. And he bears the law's accusations against us, so that condemned in our place, he also nails those accusations to the tree in his flesh. He is crucified for the sins of the world. He dies to set the captives free. He bleeds to cover us with holy blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Sins need to be forgiven. Death needs to be vanquished. Hell needs to be conquered. And all of that, beloved, is finished when Jesus surrenders to the providence of Almighty Father and he offers himself in your place. No soldier on earth can win this battle. No army on earth can plunder the grave. No earthly king can step out of death. Only Jesus. Only Jesus is crucified for you. Only Jesus is risen for you. Only Jesus and his words can save and heal. And that's why the centurion calls on Jesus. And that's why we're here today. For it's not the centurion's deeds which we are to note, but his faith. The centurion knows the truth. Though he does love the Jewish nation, and he really did build them a synagogue, he remains unworthy to have Jesus enter into his home. He makes confession, and he hopes for a word. This soldier knows the power of words. He too is a man under authority, and he trusts that Jesus' words do what they say and work what they promise, for all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Jesus has authority over sin, sickness, death, devil, and hell. And this authority isn't exercised by armies with swords or guns. Through the word, the sacraments. This is how God deals with your sin, sickness, death, devil, and hell. God speaks. He has words for you, words that have power and authority. This is how God desires to deal with you and me, who are sinners in need of help and healing from our sin's consequences. He wants to give you His word. And in no way, beloved, does God want to deal with your sin and death apart from His word. For any other dealing apart from God's word is of the devil. God works His word through means. And this means that we sinners receive God's word for our eternal life. When hearing the word, we receive it by faith. When baptized into the word, we live by faith. When falling or stumbling into sin, as sinners are wont to do, we return to His word in absolution, believing that word as it is not the word of men who have their agendas. It's the word of God. The word of God Himself to forgive you and save you. Even here, even now, everything that is done in this divine service, everything that is said is to bring God's word to you and you back to God in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. Words matter, especially God's word. God's word is giving you today to save you and heal you from the inside out, to create within you a new heart, a clean heart, to renew within you an abundant life, the abundant life of Jesus, who loves you and gave Himself up for you. Beloved in the Lord, unlike the word of men upon which our nation is founded, God's word endures forever. That's what Christians have believed and confessed from the very beginning, because that's what the Bible says. That's what those letters carved on the front of our lectern mean. Verbum Domini manet aeternum. The word of the Lord endures forever. And because God's word endures forever, so does His kingdom. Kings of the earth establish themselves according to the word and agendas of men. And because they do, they will always and forever be temporal. Kingdom shall rise against kingdom, and nations shall go to war with one another. All will fade, because the words of men will not endure. Not so the kingdom of God. Not even the gates of hell can prevail against her. For this kingdom is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. And within this kingdom reside those who are truly free. Those like this centurion and his servant. All those who believe the word and are baptized into Christ. Thanks be to God for His word to us today.
Amen.
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 The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your heart and mind through faith in Christ Jesus.